You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Monday, everybody. Finally, Monday is here, and I get to be on the radio again. You know what it's like slumbering through a weekend? Slogging through a weekend, I should say. Waiting, counting the minutes so I can come back here and host Nightlight. So great to have you with me. Hope you had a great weekend. It is still... Conrad, what is going on with the weather? I'm not holding you personally responsible, but this is like getting ridiculous. It's gloom and doom, dude.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, it's the least you could do is, you know, try to bring us some sunshine, buddy. Yeah. What are we looking at? You know, the draft, it'd be nice if when people descend on Green Bay, as they've already started to do, we had some sunshine, right? Because Green Bay is going to be like front and center, Northeast Wisconsin, all over the country. Or the world, whoever watches the draft, be nice if we had some picturesque sunlight for the viewers. I think
it would be Wisconsin if it just a random snowstorm came on Thursday.
Oh God, that would be so horrible.
that would suck.
You would like regret taking time off if that were the case.
Yeah,
like, you'd probably be like, I might as well work.
Yeah, I might as well just come into the studio that day.
Yeah, although I won't be there. I'm going to Madison now.
Yeah,
because you're off and we're kind of shuffling things around and it should be just fine. But hey, it is great to have you with me, folks, tonight on this Monday. Like I said, I hope you had a great weekend. We've got a great show tonight, as always. But even tonight, I think it's on a Monday. You want to start off with some cool stuff. And I think we have that tonight. Joining me tonight at 6:35 is the program director for the Milwaukee Film Festival, Kirsten Larson. We're going to give you kind of an overview of what you can expect if you head to Milwaukee or if you're already there and you head to the film festival. They've got some really cool films playing this year. The one I think that caught my eye the most, I think, is called Secret Mall Apartment. And apparently several young people in Rhode Island created this little apartment in a mall, like kind of back behind the scenes, and lived there for like 4 years, and nobody had any idea. And there's a documentary about this, and I can't wait to talk to Kirsten about that, as well as many other films. There's a cool kind of reunion screening, a 40-year anniversary screening, some great happy hours, they call them, in Milwaukee. I'm not as up on Milwaukee's film festival, even though I had a film that played there years ago. I haven't been there recently, so I'm really looking forward to hearing more about it and kind of having Kirsten sort of tell us what we can expect if we decide to check out these films or just anything going on at the film festival. They have two beautiful venues as well, the Downer Theater and the Oriental Theater. If you have not seen the Oriental Theater, folks, it is worth a trip to Milwaukee alone. It is that majestic. It's just an absolutely beautiful theater. So Kirsten will be here at 6:35. We'll get the straight dope from the program director's mouth. And then our pal Tim Sowers is here tonight. The Overture Center in Madison just released their new schedule, and they've got some really amazing things coming into town. These great Broadway shows, many different series that they'll be promoting throughout the course of the year, more homegrown stuff, shows from Broadway. They've got my favorite that I read about was a Back to the Future musical.
Oh,
live on stage. How cool does that sound, right?
That sounds awesome.
And someone said, I don't know if I read something that Tim talked about or what, but it was like, how do they make the car disappear on stage? So we'll ask Tim these questions. He has a pretty sweet gig. He gets to go around and watch Broadway musicals and figure out which ones he wants to bring to Madison. So we'll talk about that with Tim. He's one of our pals here. He's here fairly frequently, I would say. And it's always good to catch up with Tim. That's at 7:20. 7:20, right, Conrad?
Yes.
I booked him and I can't even remember. 7:20 or 7:35.
7:20.
Okay. We always run out of time with Tim anyway, because he's good. He's a good talker. He's up on a lot of TV shows. He's got great taste in TV and movies. So we'll try to sneak some of that talk in with Tim as well. And I understand, Conrad, that both of us were in the wonderful city of Milwaukee over the weekend. I had no idea you were there. I assume you're not tracking my phone and you didn't know I was there.
No.
What were you doing there? Just sightseeing?
I went to a Milwaukee Brewer game.
All right.
Against the, well, not the Oakland anymore, just the Athletics. No City Forum yet.
What is the deal?
They're actually playing in Sacramento right now, I believe. So, yeah, they're moving to Vegas, but the stadium's not up yet.
Okay. The Vegas A's. That doesn't sound as cool as the Oakland A's.
I just like that they have no city right now, so it's just the Athletics.
Yeah. Yeah, just they're a team without a city. It's really strange.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun. Did you get a beer and a hot dog at the ball field?
Actually, I had two hot dogs.
Two hot dogs? How many beers?
I only had two, because before we even knew it, it was already the seventh inning. And after seventh inning, they stopped serving.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That
so
doesn't sound like Wisconsin at all.
It was under 2 hours, this game. And what the fastest a game has ever gone for me at a Brewer stadium. And, but yeah, it was only 3-1, the score, the final score. It wasn't too much going on. So the innings went fast.
Did they win?
No, they lost.
Oh, don't you hate that? I mean, I used to hate now I'm a little more mellow, but when I would pay money to see a professional baseball game and I would actually go to the stadium, it seemed like every time I went, like in a 5-year span, they lost.
Yeah.
It sucks. It's like, why did I do this? You know what I mean?
I always think, I think the last 4 or 5 games I've gone to, they lost.
Yeah.
So I think I have bad luck.
Every time you go, though, when you're on that kind of streak, they're due for a win. So you bring yourself that much closer. So
but they,
keep spending your money.
It was cool, though. They had one of their giveaways, and I got a Brewers football jersey.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Brewers football jersey. Okay.
It's pretty cool.
That is kind of cool.
The whole stadium was wearing them because they gave it to 25,000 people.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I was in Milwaukee, too. We went Saturday morning, and my son is involved with comedy sports, and he had this special showcase on Saturday night. So we went. That was the first time I got to see him do comedy sports, which was fun. What a great atmosphere that is, too, folks. If you live in the Milwaukee area, or even if you don't, if you're up for a road trip, It's just a great atmosphere. They have this great little campus just south of the Third Ward. Might technically be in the Third Ward, but they have this big main stage, which is beautiful. Then they've got all these pictures and a bar area outside with some of their legendary performers. And then they have a secondary stage where this showcase was, and that was packed. And it was just such a great, it was so, like, to go out on a Saturday night and just get away from your regular routine for some comedy. It was an absolute blast. So tip of my hat to my son and to comedy sports, because they just provide such a great, they've been around like 40 years now and they do such an amazing job. And it's just they're an absolute treasure for Milwaukee to have, and in other various parts of the state as well. But I believe they started in Milwaukee, and Mike Kauth, who has been on this show before, and I had a chance to catch up a little bit. It was the first time I met Mike in person, and it was really fun to talk to him and find out even more about comedy sports. So highly recommend that if you get the chance. We've got, did I tell you? I don't think I told you this, Conrad. We were going to the zoo on Easter Sunday. Did you notice, was it like this in Green Bay? Everything was closed yesterday.
No, I didn't. I mean, I only went to Quick Trip yesterday, so I didn't really check anything else.
They were open. Yes. Went to a Quick Trip too. But I don't remember. I didn't know it's a holiday, but I don't remember literally, like, the mall, the Mayfair Mall was closed.
Oh, wow.
And there were Starbucks that were closed. I don't remember everything shutting down on Easter Sunday like that. Grocery stores. I'm like, I don't know. It was very strange. But we were on our way to the zoo on 94 West, and this is why, you know, we get lulled into sleep when we drive. I think it's just, you take it for granted. It's second nature, whatever. My daughter and I were in one car, my son and my wife in the other. We were driving and I hear these brakes squeal up in front of us. Lucky there was enough room. I probably had 2 or 3 seconds between me and the other car. I slammed on the brakes. Some moron. You know, usually when you exit on the right. This guy was all the way in the right, and it was around American Family Field, right? I get the Brewer baseball stadiums mixed up. Pfizer Family Field. And so this guy cuts all the way over like three lanes to make his exit on the left. Almost killed, like four or five cars hit the brakes. I cannot believe there was not a major pileup because this moron couldn't go up one more exit and turn around. No, no, no. I'm going to jeopardize everybody's life on 94 West. I swear I would have, you know.
That's the Milwaukee drivers, I swear, every time.
Is it more? Do they have that reputation? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, so my friend who was driving to us to the game, he took a wrong turn and we went down Silver Spring and well, there was someone going 60 in 35.
Oh wow!
And just weaving, you know, in and out of traffic and yeah, and my friend goes, "Watch, he's gonna run this red light." He sees no one coming, keeps going.
Sure enough,
he did it.
I'll tell you what, though, I don't drive in Milwaukee that often, but I have noticed in Northeast Wisconsin drivers driving much faster in the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I mean,
it's insane driving, speeding like crazy. Hey, we got a lot to get to tonight. We got two great guests, and I'm trying to remember what made me think of this question, but let's get to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite serial killer movie? Yes, a whimsical Monday night question of the night here on Nightlight. What is your favorite serial killer movie? There's so many of them. I don't think we've ever had a question like this before. I'll go first. Manhunter, starring William Peterson, Dennis Farina, Brian Cox from Succession, who plays Hannibal Lecter. And the killer in the film is called the Tooth Fairy. He's like this big hulking 6'7" guy. So who is your favorite? What is your favorite serial killer movie, folks? 855-752-4842. Text us on the app. Text us on the stream if you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, or where else, Conrad? Where
Twix.
Else can people? Twix, of course. How could I forget our little XX? What is your favorite serial killer movie? That is tonight's question of the night. Mine is Manhunter. Phenomenal film. And Brian Cox plays an even better Hannibal Lecter, in my opinion, than Anthony Hopkins did. We'll find out Conrad's pick when we come back after the break and read your texts. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
He's the greatest dancer.
One night in a disco on the outskirts of Frisco, I was cruising with my favorite gang. The place was so boring.
Pete, you're muted.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe, your unmuted host, bringing you hopefully some lovely entertainment after a long, gloomy Monday. Whatever you did today, whether it was work or whatever, it is great to have you here. Let's talk movies and TV and live Broadway shows and the Milwaukee Film Festival. That is all happening here tonight. So welcome to Nightlight. And our question of the night is, what is your favorite serial killer movie? You can let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or text us on the app or the stream. We will get Conrad's pick in just a minute. First, I want to tell you about a really cool thing happening here at Civic Media. We have a new lineup starting on Wednesday. The new lineup all starts at 5 a.m., 5 to 6 a.m. We have the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke on select stations. From 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., it's Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Did you and Pat ever patch things up, Conrad?
I don't think we had a falling out.
I just like to start stuff, don't I? Pat's a great guy. Conrad's a great guy. They've never had issues. Pat will be on from 6 to 9 a.m. You can hear yours truly on his show from time to time, too, talking a little bit about entertainment. That is powered by Up North News. Pat will be on. However, if you're in Madison or Green Bay, rest assured, Mino and the Mayor will still be on from 6 to 9 in Green Bay. And John and Gordy will still be on in the same time slot on WMDX in Madison. So with the exception of those two markets, you can hear Pat on the network every morning from 6 to 9. And your favorite local hosts in Green Bay and Madison, nothing will change there. From 9 to 11 a.m., Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air and Greg Bach will bring the informative news, the funny. They do all kinds of great stuff on that show. That's from 9 to 11. From 11 to 2, Tom Hartman returns to Civic Media during the day. 3 hours of Tom, right smack dab in the middle of the day. You can't go wrong with Tom Hartman. He's great. From 2 to 4 p.m., we've got the Todd Alba Show. He's scooting up a couple hours. Todd is, you know, I would say between Matt and Air on Air and Todd, they both have these great formats where, like, they talk about news stories that affect you. But, like, Todd is great to have a laugh with, too.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Jane and Greg. And Zommers produces his show. It's all fun stuff, folks, and just very easy to listen to. Then at 4 to 6, the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie replaces Dom in Dom's old slot. Dom has moved on to other things. It was a very amicable parting, and I miss Dom already, but I'm glad he is moving on to new adventures. But Maggie will be on from 4 to 6, leading you into Nightlight every night. Our time slot has not changed. We stay at 6 to 8 p.m. every night, and we will do our best with this new lineup to keep you informed, fans of Civic Media. So what is your favorite serial killer movie, Conrad? Do you have one?
I'd say Scream.
Is that a scary movie?
No, it's not really scary, but yeah. I mean, there's some moments that are jump scares, but like other than that, I think there's a reason it's been made fun of so many times.
You know, I got to be honest. I didn't even know that was a serial. It's been so long since I've seen that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was a serial killer movie, but I guess
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's good. Mine, like I said before the break, is Manhunter, starring William Peterson, Willem Dafoe, Brian Cox as Hannibal Lecter. So creepy. And the way Will Graham figures out the crime is so brilliant, too. It's got Michael Mann was the director. It's got that sleek, modern Michael Mann look. Even in the 80s, like, it was way ahead of its time in terms of the aesthetics of the film. Really good watch. I've seen it probably 10 times. And William Peterson is great in the film as Will Graham. Definitely worth a look-see. But let us know what your favorite serial killer movie is. It's fun to talk about serial killer movies. Did you see that Anakin Hayden Christensen is coming back to the Star Wars franchise?
But coming out in your beats tomorrow. You have a little story on it, and I think that's awesome.
He's kind of a polarizing figure. I have to say, it seems like some people love him, and some people just don't buy him as Anakin. Where do you stand on that? You're a Star Wars
guy. Love Hayden Christensen.
Do you? Okay,
I think
cool.
He's great as Anakin. And I mean, just the way he has to turn in episode 3, you know, I think he does a great job.
I'm with you. I didn't have a problem with his performance when I first saw him in, I think it was Attack of the Clones. But I think Star Wars fans are excited to hear that by and large. So it's also National Cashew. Is it Chocolate Covered Cashew Day or just Cashew Day? Chocolate Covered. Right?
Yeah, Chocolate Covered.
I don't know why chocolate-covered cashews have been out of my life for almost 10 years, but I am literally in flavor country just thinking about chocolate-covered cashews right now. They are so good.
You know what's better than that?
Nothing.
No, ballpark cinnamon cashews. Heated up.
Oh, I've had cinnamon cashews. Those are very good.
They do the pecans, too, and the almonds. And okay. It was tempting not... But I'm trying to not eat a lot of sugar. So yeah, I was like, I want it so bad, but I was like, all right.
I don't know what it is. It's like something about the consistency of the cashew. It's like not really crunchy like other nuts. You just kind of, it's good stuff. I got to stop talking about
it. You know what other day it is?
Kindergarten day.
It's keep off the grass day. And I had to look into this because yesterday was 420. So I was like, So is this like a... No, it's not.
I didn't even catch that. That's great.
It's not a metaphor. It's just actually keep off the grass tape.
Yeah. it pertains to lawns.
Yeah.
And not weed. Okay. Keep off the grass while you're smoking grass. At least here in Wisconsin. So we've got, all right, our question of the night is, what is your favorite serial killer movie? Steve from Florida says, favorite serial killer movie is Conrad's Great Uncles, Freddy Krueger, iconic movie, Nightmare on Elm Street. So your dad is saying he has the same favorite as your uncle.
No, he's saying my,
referring to your...
Yeah, he's saying my uncle or my great uncle is Freddy Krueger. So in this case, it'd be Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger. Yes. That's borderline child abuse. If your dad was telling you Freddy Krueger is your uncle. Monica from Mount Horeb says, since you said Manhunter, I'll add Monster with Charlize Theron playing Aileen Wuornos. And I won tickets to the Milwaukee Film Fest on Civic Media. Yes. So I'm going to see some shorts at the Oriental. Awesome, Monica. Well done. And a great choice. I forgot about Monster. That's a great one. Chris Casper checking in, part of the Civic Media team. He's in the 608. He says, Silence of the Lambs, hands down. Chris, check out Manhunter. Would love to discuss these with you, buddy. So much fun tonight. Great to have you here with me. Kirsten Larson from the Milwaukee Film Festival is coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Great to have you with me tonight here at Nightlight, folks. On a Monday edition, I am Pete Schwabba. We are hoping to make your day, bring a little sunshine to what's been a very gloomy, actually a few days here in Northeast Wisconsin and all over Wisconsin, really. I think it's been kind of crummy. Our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, is what is your favorite serial killer movie? And I don't mean like post Raisin Bran. I know we all like to kill a bowl of cereal once in a while, but who is your favorite? What is your favorite serial killer movie? Daniel Wheeler gave us a social media text that said, I Feel Fantastic by John Bergeron, creator of Tara the Android. He says it's a bit of a stretch for inclusion, but look up the video and its accompanying conspiracy theory. It may have been debunked, but its unsettling nature is very real. I will do that, Daniel. Thank you. I have not heard of that. And then Matt Harper, our buddy, rock rap artist from here in Northeast Wisconsin, says American Psycho. You know, I've never seen American Psycho. Have you seen it, Con?
Yeah, I've seen it. All right, so I've seen it three times, but I've also seen the Family Guy version of it, and I gotta say, the Family Guy version is hilarious, so you need to watch that.
Is Quagmire like the guy or what?
No, Peter is.
Oh, Peter, of course. That's so great. For those of you that didn't know, folks, if you follow us on Facebook or on X or Instagram or where else are we, Con? We're everywhere, right?
We're everywhere, yeah. Facebook.
Working on Blue Sky.
Yeah.
But give us a like or a follow, and you'll see the question there. You can post your answer earlier in the day, and we'll read it on the show as well if you don't have an opportunity to listen at night. You can still get to be a part of the show. And if you're there and you want to give us a like or a follow on Facebook or Twix, that's Twitter X, or on YouTube, whatever, it is much appreciated. PJ says, Natural Born Killers is my favorite. PJ is watching on the stream, and yeah, that's a good one. Woody Harrelson is in everything. I just saw him again last night. Okay, what was I watching? But that's a great one. Thank you, PJ. Craig Knitt says, Anton Chigurh in No Country for Old Men was mesmerizing and horrifying. Boy, that's very interesting you say that, Craig, because I don't think of that as a serial killer movie, but he is a serial killer, and that is one of my favorite movies of all time. Definitely my top three Coen brother films. So that's a phenomenal text as well. Keep those texts coming, folks. What is your favorite serial killer movie? Right now, we are going to turn our attention to our first guest. She joins us on the phone. She's the program director for the Milwaukee Film Festival, which is right around the corner. Her name is Kirsten Larson, and it is my pleasure to welcome her for the first time to Nightlight. Hey, Kirsten.
Hi, Pete. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. How are you doing? You're in the home stretch probably. Are things coming together?
Yep, they are coming together. It's sort of getting to the point where we just have to hit the ground running and black out for 2 weeks, and then it'll all be over.
There you go. Do you have before we jump into the nuts and bolts of the Milwaukee Film Festival, which is a phenomenal festival, do you have a favorite serial killer movie, Kirsten?
Okay, I was just scrambling to think of this because I was like, I know this question is coming my way. And I feel like I have to say Psycho because I love Alfred Hitchcock so much.
Nice. That's a great choice and a classic. What are your other favorite Hitchcock films?
I really love some of his lesser known ones, like Shadow of a Doubt is a really good one.
Oh yeah.
And it's one of his favorite that he made, which is kind of interesting because it's a bit less dramatic than the rest of his movies where it's more like residentially focused. And then there's another one called Lifeboat that I really love, where it all takes place on a lifeboat after a boat has sank. And then it's just the drama coming up from all the people having to sit there together. And so I guess maybe I like some of his more intimate films.
I love that. And I haven't seen either one of those. So you just gave me two films to watch. So thank you for that.
There you go.
I would have to say my favorite is probably Rear Window. Just a film I've seen probably 20 times, and I'll probably see it another 20 times. Like, I just love every frame of that film, the acting, the writing. It's just such a great, and the setting, it's just so great. So there you
go.
We've bonded here, Kirsten. This means you're getting along, and this is the start of a beautiful friendship. So I hope this means you'll be on Nightlight quite a bit, but let's jump into, before we get to your lineup in the festival, how did you end up at the Milwaukee Film Festival? Are you a Milwaukee native?
I'm not. I'm from the Chicagoland area originally, and I was interested in working for film festivals when I was in college. So I had volunteered and interned at a few, and then I graduated and was looking for jobs and saw that the Milwaukee Film Festival was coming up. So I got my first paying film festival job here. And then I worked at a few other ones around the country in seasonal roles, but I was just like, the Milwaukee Film Festival was the best, even compared to like Sundance or Tribeca. I just loved the Midwest sensibility here so much. And so it brought me back, and I've been here ever since.
That is outstanding. And I agree. Like, I haven't been there for a few years, but I went to see a friend's film there a few years ago. Like, I think I mentioned in the email, I had a film that played there years ago. I love how, first of all, I love the venues. I mean, the Oriental Theater is like one of the most beautiful movie theaters I've ever set foot in. And I love the films you guys choose. And that includes this year's lineup. Like, you know, I've read a lot about what you guys have on tap, but what do you want to give us a quick overview of this year's festival in a few words, and then I'll ask you about specific movies.
Yeah, definitely. So it's a 15-day festival, April 24th to May 8th, and we will be at the Oriental Theater and the Downer Theater, which are both on the east side of Milwaukee. And yeah, we have tons and tons of films. We always say they're for ages 3 to 103, so something for everybody. We have international fiction, American fiction, horror movies, documentaries, short films, which I love to recommend to people because you don't get to see a lot of short film programs very often in the movie theater, and they're so fun and original. And then we have children's programming, which is adorable, especially if kids don't get to like actually go to the movie theater very often, much less one like the Oriental Theater. Those screenings even make me feel happy and inspired because you can just see how much fun all of the families are having there. And yeah, like I said, there's going to be something for everyone. It's an amazing lineup this year. I think, yeah, we have over 200, film programs could attend. So you can't go to all of them, but you can certainly try.
No, but there is something to be said about, like, I love when I'm at a film festival and I see like 3 or 4 movies in a day. And it's amazing how you need stamina to to watch movies because you're just sitting there, but mentally it's draining, but it's so exhilarating. And that's the great thing about film festivals. Like I've always, a lot of times I haven't had to buy a pass, but I'm amazed that I see people that buy like a festival pass and they keep track of all the movies they watch. And all they do for a week, or in your case, 2 weeks, is go to movies. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, we have a really diehard audience. And I think our audience is another reason why I wanted to come back to Milwaukee and keep working at the festival here, because people just have so much fun with it. And, you know, I'm a movie nerd, so it's not surprising that I might watch like 3 or 4 movies in a day. But the difference between doing that at home and doing that at a movie theater with other people is just could not be more stark. And so I think that's how people are able to sort of survive by watching that
totally
much. It's
agree.
Like you can talk to people, you can walk from one theater to the other, you can go out to eat. Although I probably could survive on popcorn for an entire day.
Let's talk about your venues. I mentioned, or you mentioned, the Downer and the Oriental. Has it been a challenge? As I understand it, those are the only two venues you guys are using this year. And is that a first for that? And how do you manage with just two theaters? There must be multiple screens at both places.
Yeah. We have 3 screens at the Oriental and 2 screens at the Downer. I don't know about before my time, but I think this is one of the first years we've only had 2 like building locations that we've used. But back in 2023, I believe we only had 5 screens because we were at the Oriental, which is 3. We were at the Times, which is 1 screen, and then the Avalon, which is 1 screen. So, you know, post-pandemic, we're figuring everything out and trying on different spaces. But yeah, I think it's going to be so much fun for people to be able to spend time on the East Side and bopping between the Downer and the Oriental, especially because, like I was saying, when people get their passes to go to this festival and they can see whatever films they want, people will make like spreadsheets planning their schedule and they'll have to like plan travel time in between like one theater to the next.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, you guys could just walk for like 20 minutes between the Oriental and the Downer and it won't be so like intense drag racing across the city.
Listen, movie nerds are my favorite kind of nerds. So let them do whatever they want as long as they keep going to the movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
My guest is Kirsten Larson. She's the program director at the Milwaukee Film Festival, which takes place April 24th through May 8th. Okay, let's jump into some films, Kirsten. You have a kind of a big event. You have a director coming in for Q&A for the Desperately Seeking Susan 40th anniversary screening at the Milwaukee Film Festival. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, definitely. So we are showing Desperately Seeking Susan, and Susan Seidelman will be attending. She is going to do a book signing before the screening. Then we'll all watch it together, and then she'll do a Q&A after the film. And yeah, we were just so excited that that worked out, especially because it's an anniversary year for the film. We've been really excited because we have our new executive director, Susan Kearns. So she has gotten to know Susan Seidelman, and so it will be 2 Susans doing their Q&A. So it'll be just like the movie where everyone's confused.
I think Susan
will be a fantastic event, and we're really excited about it.
And she's a pretty accomplished director, too. I love that she's got the book out. And to me, Kirsten, I'm sure you'd agree, the Q&As are really what make film festivals it's a different kind of movie viewing when you get those insights from the actual filmmakers.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing I really love about our Q&As is how it really brings our filmmaker guests and our audiences together, because definitely our audience is excited to see when filmmakers come into town and can share more details about their filmmaking process. But every single year without fail, the filmmakers, when they come to Milwaukee, are like, oh my gosh, like I've never been to the Midwest or I've never been to Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
And I absolutely love it here. And like your audience is so enthusiastic and wonderful. And I definitely want to come back in future years. So that routinely happens to us and makes me very happy.
That's great. Here's one of my favorite things that jumped out at me at your guide was Secret Mall Apartment. I think this is so cool. Can you tell us about Secret Mall Apartment, this nice documentary?
Yes, absolutely. So that one is about a group of people who decide to hide out and live in a mall. And they go for a very long time undetected. And so you just sort of get to see behind the scenes and how they pulled that off. And all the hijinks that that entails. And yeah, that one has been a pretty big hit and getting popular because it was produced by Jesse Eisenberg, who obviously is having a good year with his movie, A Real Pain, coming out. And
yeah.
So yeah, that one, we showed it as one of our member screenings as a festival preview, and everyone absolutely loved it. So we're excited for the general audience to get to see it too. And it's just the kind of documentary stories I really love because they can have all sorts. They can be like biography documentaries. They could be political documentaries. And I just love a quirky, weird story documentary. That's just like something you would never hear about on your own.
My guest is Kirsten Larson. We'll have some more time with Kirsten after this very short break, and I'm going to ask her about a famous comedian's documentary that's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Someone's
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabba, hoping to keep you entertained on this gloomy Monday. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, he's in the 608. He says, Charlize Theron's reluctant monster. She only wanted to be loved. Great text, Tyler. Thank you. Luann in Green Bay says, Seven. Oh, I forgot about Seven, too. That's kind of how the last few days have felt here in Wisconsin, I thought, like with that Seven aesthetic where it was just rainy and gloomy. That's what it's been like here. Great one, Luann. Thank you. Jim from Appleton says, Conversations with a Killer. Ted Bundy tapes, real life, real mind bending. That was on my list for a while, and I just kind of forgot about it. So I have not seen that, Jim, but great text. Keep them coming. What is your favorite serial killer movie? Kind of a whimsical question tonight, folks. My guest right now is Kirsten Larson. She's the program director for the Milwaukee Film Festival, which starts April 24th and runs through May 8th. They have a spectacular docket of films. Great venues, great events. It's highly worth checking out. Go to milwaukeefilm.org and learn more. Kirsten, tell me a little bit about my background in stand-up comedy. And I remember crossing paths with Gallagher back in the day, briefly. I didn't know him. But there's a documentary about him. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so that is a very fascinating documentary and sort of in that biographical documentary category that I was talking about earlier. And so, yeah, you really just get to get into the nitty gritty of the background of someone's life. And so, yeah, that documentary is sort of delving into Gallagher's life, where you probably just know of him smashing watermelons, but you don't really know how he got to where he was in comedy and then what happened to him after you were more familiar with him. And yeah, that specifically talks about a lot of things about where he was sort of pigeonholed and characterized as, you know, just the guy with the big hammer smashing watermelons, but how he was very influential and important as a comedian. And so sort of trying to give him his due, but then also demonstrating how he had a difficult time with not getting that recognition and how it kind of made him sad later in his life.
And that's the part of the documentary when I was reading in the guide that caught my attention. Like, I didn't know that, you know what I mean? Like you just said, you remember him smashing watermelons and saying, you know, if you're in the front row, you might get wet. but I had no idea. So that's another good one. Tell us about AJ Goes to the Dog Park. We've got the filmmakers on this show this week, which I think will be fun. They're going to talk to us a little bit about the film, but that looks like a fun little comedy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that's another one that has great Midwest sensibilities because it is all set in the Dakotas. And so that was cool. Little tie-in. We love that. But it is a very quirky story about a guy who just has to go on a mission to find a place for his dog to have fun. And obviously crazy things end up happening in the interim. And one of my favorite things about it is that the team who creates the film had a cartoon that was on Cartoon Network. And this film is live action, but it has so many funny visual gags in it that you can really tell the origin of their, artistry is in sort of the animated world. And so I just thought it was so original with how it came together and just its visual storytelling style.
So it's important, too, with film festivals, I think, to have that big opening night film. You guys are playing a film called Sally. Are there still tickets available for opening night? And tell us about that film, if you would, please.
Yes, there are still tickets available. And yeah, highly recommend you go to that one because it's in the big house at the Oriental. So there's 1,000 seats. And so when that place gets full, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
And that documentary is about Sally Ride, the astronaut. And once again, it's telling you the unknown story of Sally Ride, where you've seen the big news stories and have her in the history books, but you don't really know about her personal life and how she got to where she was. But a thing that's especially exciting about that film is that the director, Christina Costantini, is from Milwaukee originally. And so that'll be a fantastic homecoming for her. We know her parents are really excited for the Q&A.
Oh, nice.
And so, yeah, just having people come out to support her and celebrate the artists who are able to come out of our city is always amazing.
I'd love to keep you through the news. If you can give us just a few more minutes, would that be okay, Kirsten?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I want to ask you too, we've got about a minute before we have to go to a break. What sets Milwaukee Film Festival apart from others in the state or out of the state, would you say?
What distinguishes it from other festivals?
Yeah. What makes you guys unique?
Well, I know I've been harping on it, but I really think it is the community and the actual city of Milwaukee that makes it so unique because we couldn't have the festival without our audience and having people who want to take a chance on these films they've never heard of and learn something new about the world around them is just something you can't replace. And so I would say the people of Milwaukee is what makes it unique.
That is a great answer. And right when I was asking you that, to me, I was thinking, for me, it's the East Side, because that is one of my favorite neighborhoods in the whole world. And the fact that you have this film festival more or less set there, I just think is so unique and cool. My guest is Kirsten Larson. She's agreed to stick with us for a few minutes through the news. I have a few more questions for Kirsten, including about two big events called their happy hours that they do at the Milwaukee Film Festival. We'll talk about that. And then I'm going to ask her what she's binge-watching on TV before we let her go. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight. Tim Sauer's coming up at 7:20, folks, to talk about the new Overture Center lineup. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. Whenever I get this way, I just don't know what to say. Why can't we be ourselves like we were yesterday?
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.